You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things U Talk football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the U Talk podcast. After some... First we took a week off, then we actually didn't take a week off last week, but it didn't end up making it out to the interweb, and here we are this week recording, as always, Grant Bagby from Torn by Sports.
It was a great show, guys. I just got bogged down at work and didn't get it put together on online fast enough, but imagine that you heard it and that it was amazing.
Yes. Go give us a 5-star review on our review of last week's podcast. Well, let's get straight into it. Quick hitters. First one, as always, Kyle Kuzma watch. What do you think, Joseph? I know this is more your thing.
Yay, Kyle Kuzma. He's amazing. He got 3 steals last night, or the night before. No, last night.
He's playing the Kings in...
Yeah,
not to tamper your
it's been
stat.
Great. Mr. Ball, Daddy Ball, has been in the news a little bit, throwing everybody under the bus. But what are you going to do? He's also in the news for his Better Business Bureau rating of an F, because he's literally never sent anyone any shoes or shirts or hats.
I know one person who got a shirt.
Oh.
So you can't say nobody.
One person got
But Fox on a Box did get a shirt.
Eventually. How long did it?
I can't remember. I would look it up on Twitter, but Andrew even got it, like, I think a Yahoo Sports article or something about the fact that he received a shirt. It's a miracle.
So the point being that LeVar made... wind up in a lot of trouble at some point here soon if he doesn't start actually doing what he says he's going to do. And that might change the conversation a little bit here.
Well, you've changed our conversation.
Yes.
So,
but anyway,
on the Kuzma watch, let's just a couple things. You know, his playing time's gone down a little bit, especially over the last 5 games. He's also been on a little bit more of a roller coaster ride. I'm intrigued to see if teams, maybe the scouting report's starting to get the best of him. We'll see. But it'll be interesting. Either way, still doing good. Not rookie of the year. Definitely not rookie of the year, in my opinion, as you were getting your hopes up. But
a little over-optimistic, a little gung-ho. There's some other really good players out there, and Kyle Kuzma has established himself as a permanent part of the the NBA landscape for the foreseeable future.
We'll see. So, for your knowledge, Joseph, the rookie wall is coming, and that's in the second half of the season.
Interesting.
And this is mainly because you have, you know, in college.
Right.
They're just not playing that many games. And then you get to the NBA, and now they're playing 82 games. And you get halfway through that, they've now extended themselves longer than they had, and they hit a wall.
Plus,
they're playing more, they're traveling more.
The minutes are longer. Everything's
you're playing with men instead of boys. No offense to you college athletes out there, but NBA player versus average college player is a big difference.
Yes.
So there's that. But moving on. Hey, some other sports have started. Gymnastics had their first official meet last Friday.
Crush the Cougs.
Dominating. Hey, look, they still held out the, like, Deseret Dual trophy and everything.
I didn't know but that was still
it's,
a thing, but okay.
I forgot. I mean, ultimately, it's determined by the football game, right? Mm-hmm. Whoever wins the football game gets the Deseret Dual trophy, but I don't know. I don't care. But it's either way, they won who they were supposed to. They beat who they were supposed to beat in
and
BYU. It's just a different level of competition between BYU and Utah gymnastics.
Utah hasn't lost to BYU in almost 4,000 days. It's been a really long time. So this isn't like a
4,000 days, huh?
Yeah, it's been a long time. this isn't a high-intensity part of the Holy War. A cool thing about gymnastics is that because the scoring is I want to say objective, but it's not related to who you play. It's all about how you get scored.
Individually, yeah.
You can compare teams who don't play each other, and Utah's 197 aggregate score is, it's definitely a top five in the nation for the first week. And I think it's number four. I'd have to check. But they're playing at that national championship level that they've come to expect, so that's good. And Michaela Skinner, the star of the team, she was an alternate in the Olympics and should have not been an alternate. She should have been above Gabby Douglas.
Let's not get the gym turnette after us, please.
Different day. Different story, different day. But she is an 8-time Pac-12 gymnast of the year, or of the week. And at the 9th one, which she'll probably get next week, she'll be the most awarded, most honored gymnast in the Pac-12 ever. So she's pretty darn good, and she's worth the price of admission to go see.
Yeah, I mean, on a final note, I mean, well, two final notes for you. One, my wife was surprised when people started leaving before her floor routine, which is her best event. So, I mean, if you, like you just said, worth the price of admission, people were leaving before the main event. Either way, their next meet is in Reno, actually, on the 14th, and they're going against UCLA, Stanford, Washington. So that is a pack. 12 meet with, you know, top of the Pac-12 at it. Totally worth watching. It is being streamed.
Watch it on TV, though, or streaming. Well, I've been to those meets where there's three or four, and it's really hard to follow because they all go at the same time.
You just follow your team. It's a very simple thing.
It's hard.
There's Utah on the bars. Watch them on the bars.
Grant is a season ticket holder. He's a big gymnastics buff.
More my wife, but I do support her.
I really like it. I like to watch it. I don't know as much about it as I would like. And we're effing getting a real expert here as a guest to show us all about it.
Ultimately, for non-experts talking gymnastics, I think it was enough time.
Yes.
On other subjects that probably won't take a lot of our time, the women's basketball team swept the Washington road trip last week. And they play UCLA USC, I believe, Friday is the first game of the weekend, and it's the blackout. And for those of you who might be interested in cheering on some Utes this weekend, the blackout, if you go dressed in black Utah gear, free admission.
All right.
So it's there. Ultimately, they're third in the Pac-12 right now, 3-1. They are playing, I think USC's this first game, and USC's ranked pretty high up there, so it's a pretty big game for Utah. We'll see what happens. On the news most Utah fans have been talking about as of late, Jim Harding supposedly interviewed for the Bengals offensive line coaching job.
Yeah, it's kind of bound to happen, right? He put his entire O-line into the league a couple of years ago. He's really got a strong reputation, and he's not advancing within the program maybe the way that he wants to. Bringing Gary Anderson, and that's not directly a hit on him, but makes it less likely that he's going to be taking over, you know, coordinator duties or continue to have more administrative duties. So it makes sense that he's looking around. It'll definitely be a loss for a program when he goes, and he'll go sooner or later somewhere.
Eventually it was going to happen, whether it's this year or next, whatever. I mean, what is it? Is his title associated head coach, or they changed that as well?
Several associate head coaches.
I don't know. That's not worth much. So he's really the O-line coach going from college to the NFL. That doesn't surprise me. Sad to see him go if that happens, but not surprised.
And a reminder for you fans, while Gary Anderson is known for his D-line coaching, he played offensive line in college and would likely even move over to coaching OL.
I don't see that happening. I think you're wrong.
Okay.
I think ultimately they bring in a new O-line coach. I think just like Whittingham revealed on the radio a couple days ago, Gary's on the D-line with and assisting coaching the D-line. And That's what I said I wanted last week in our Phantom Rest episode.
It wasn't Phantom. It did happen.
Just maybe we should post it for the heck
just
of it.
Post it.
Sure. But that's what I said I wanted to happen, and now it's happening with Anderson going to the D-line, so that makes me happy. And as a side note, I wish I was traveling with the tennis team for the Utes because they're in Hawaii this weekend. That would be awesome. So, hot topic number one.
All right.
The college football playoff ended on Monday with Alabama's win.
The ESPN.
SEC Worship Bowl.
SEC Worship Bowl. Exhibition Bowl.
What?
UCF is the college football champion in this room.
And you agree with me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why not?
See, here's the funny thing. So, I can't get Utah fans. Like, I've seen some of them who are saying, no, they're not the national title. Get over it, guys. We're Utah fans. We thought Utah should be the champion in 2008 and 2005. Like, how are we not standing up for UCF?
The alacrity with which some of you guys out there switched from the BCS is a joke and everybody just should have a shot to, oh, do P5 teams even play anybody? I mean, it's amazing how fast you guys just switched.
We're elitist.
Well, they are. You are. Some youth fans have just totally flipped the switch. And they're like, well, we left them behind. We don't need to worry about them anymore. The lessons that were contained in 2004 and on, went before the playoff, are still true, which is that we don't know who the best teams are. And we don't know because they play a couple of games. What a champion is somebody who does enough in the regular season to deserve a shot and then beats everybody in front of them. That's what a champion is. And we don't have a championship right now.
Based on that definition, I mean, you can't fault Alabama, right?
Yes, I can.
They did what they had to. Ultimately, the playoff committee is the one who chose to put them in there. They did. But guess what? They still got in the games, and they still crushed Clemson, and they still beat Georgia. Like, ultimately, I'm with you. Hashtag not my champion. I'm totally with the UCF, and I love what Florida's governor's done, declaring them the national champion. Like, all those things, I'm down. But, like, I can't discredit Alabama. Like, they won it. Like, whatever. And the current way it's structured, here's my opinion. It just needs to change. Like, what? BCS?
That's so
evident, isn't it? BCS... they allowed only two teams to compete to be the national champion, right? Two teams out of hundreds. You're saying you can narrow it down to two who could possibly be the best team in the country, right? All right. Well, then we expanded to four. So now we've got four teams who have a shot at claiming national title. Ultimately, that's still not enough because you're excluding teams, right? I think if you, you know, in this year, if you were to expand to an 8-team playoff, you're including most of the teams. I guess that's a debate, right? Do you go to 6 to 8? I think Wisconsin should definitely have had a shot. Ultimately, Ohio State won the conference title game. They should have had a shot. UCF went undefeated against ranked opponents in their schedule. Why in the world did they not get a shot? Like, there's just teams that I feel that have an argument. I would love to say even USC deserved a shot, right? Ultimately, they proved that they weren't worth it, really. But even then, they won the conference title, and they should have a shot.
People make this mistake. And you just said, oh, well, USC, they got their butt kicked, so they don't deserve it.
Well, they would have proven that they didn't deserve it, but they should have had a shot.
But here's the thing. Good teams get their butt kicked all the time. It happens all the time.
True.
Better teams lose.
Look at Little Giants. Giants Cowboys.
Yeah.
Little Giants pulled out the win.
Okay.
1 in 100.
What people don't realize is, I'm just going to keep talking here. What people don't realize is that, let's say you've got Alabama versus Georgia, and call it a 70-30 game. Alabama's 70% chance to win. Georgia is going to win 30% of the time, he would play 100 times. And some of those games, some of that 30%, Georgia's going to win by 40. Because Alabama throws a pick six, and then a fumbled snap, and then a missed kick. Like, this stuff happens, and it happens all the time. And the idea that USC got their butt kicked in one game by Penn State, so therefore they obviously didn't deserve to be in the playoff, is silly. You don't know, because that's one game, and you can't tell enough for one game. So what you want to do is you want to reduce kind of the margin of error. You want to say, who could we be realistically wrong about? We don't think this team deserves a shot, but we might be wrong. We didn't think Ohio State deserved a shot, Wisconsin, Auburn, USC. We might have been wrong about those guys. And then you start getting down Penn State, Miami, Washington. We probably aren't wrong that those guys weren't the number one team. And I think the natural thing to do that, incidentally, only creates two extra games, gives an advantage to teams that goes undefeated, maintains a lot of competitive advantages for good schedules and things like that, is six. We've got five Power Five teams. There's almost always one G6, I don't even know how many there are, but one of the other teams that's good enough that you say, maybe that team could win a couple of games, and who knows, maybe they're better than we think they are, as they've proven since the Utes did in 2008, 2009, and UCF absolutely did this year, that sometimes you just are play really well, and you beat the crap out of a team everybody thought was better than you. And so I think six makes sense. You got bye weeks. You have only two extra games because you'd roll in other New Year's Six games into that. And I think you're going to capture the teams that deserve to be in because they won their conference, because they won something already. And that's your ticket.
Well, hold on.
Because everything else creates these perverse incentives. Alabama got this huge advantage from not playing in the conference championship game. They had to flip a coin one less time than every other team to get into the playoff.
And that's so you're on the six?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm on the eight.
Five conference champions and the group of five conference champion with the highest ranking, provided they're higher than 18th or something. I mean, you don't want like 7-6.
Here's my issue, though. Does that really include the best teams in the country?
No.
That's why I want eight. Give the P5s, five conference title winners, automatic bids. Give the highest ranking G5 about like 15.
And then two outlarges.
And then you get two outlarges. Because ultimately,
teams.
And then you get all the conference title winners, so people who say, hey, Alabama shouldn't be in there. They're not a conference title winner. Ohio State should have been there, or USC should have been there. That argument's gone. And then you eliminate the argument of, hey, well, Alabama, you know, they should be in there, but they didn't win their conference title. They should be in there, though. Well, guess what? Now they're in there because they're still at the top eight. And sure, we get to the point where we're arguing about, because ultimately, right, this is, I came to this conclusion. Eventually, it's going to become like the NCAA basketball tournament, right? Ultimately, it's getting that point. No, it will not be 64 teams or 66 or wherever it is.
16,
but it's going to continue to go up because ultimately, like, they claim it's in the players' interest over snaps. But guess what? If they all of a sudden expand the teams, guess how much more money they're making? Like, all of a sudden, it gets more interesting. Because, and this is another item we have on our list right now, is a lot of people lost interest because it was two SEC schools in the final. I didn't watch.
I did. My whole family was out of the house. My wife had the kids at a birthday party. I had nothing to do. So I was like, I'll watch the game. And it turned out, I hate to say it, because I'm definitely an SEC hater, but it was an awesome.
I've only heard the end was awesome. I heard only halftime on.
And then when Saban
pulled out the freshman quarterback.
Yeah, I got some very colorful language I'm going to hold back here, but made a very gutsy decision to pull Jalen Hurts out of the game and put into it's just amazing. It was really cool to watch. It was a really good game. And it got good ratings, which the last SEC championship game didn't. But yeah, and in terms of actual extra snaps, I worked it out. Your average player sees literally one extra snap a season. Now, that's going to be clustered for these players, because they'll actually be playing in the game. But I think those concerns are overstated. I think you have to remember there's a real interest among the kind of blue chip teams to keep things small, because right now nobody else wins championships. And you know what changes recruiting landscapes is championships. Conference championships and national championships change everything. Totally changed things for Oregon when they won that Pac-12 championship. Even though they didn't win national championship that year. And so their whole system, the whole system where it seems like there's 20 teams that do really well, it turns out 23 teams have ever won a national championship. That whole system starts to fall apart if other teams start winning. And if you've got 8 teams or 16 teams in a playoff, other teams are going to win because football's crazy.
It's 50-50. Well, the flip of the coin.
Yeah, it's really close to 50-50 a lot of times, especially when you're dealing with the, you know, 10-12 best teams.
Yeah.
And they don't like it. And they've got a huge vested interest in keeping it small, and it sucks. It sucks. It's terrible that there's only 24
teams. It needs to be
6 or 8. Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so now on to another topic, mainly because a lot of people were talking about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
I know Joseph doesn't want to.
It's stupid.
But Nacua decided to tweet at his brother recently, telling him to go to bigger programs and not Utah schools.
Yes, he said he wanted better things than Utah schools like Clemson or Alabama. So there's a couple reasons why this is stupid. First of all, it's stupid because the kid, he's what, not 18, 19, he made a tweet, it's already gone, nobody cares, right? It's not like, you know...
Did he delete it?
I don't know, but, so it's but nobody's going to read it. You know, it's all the way down the feed and it's gone, it's over. The second thing is, Alabama and Clemson are better than Utah. They're better programs, they're more exciting. 99% of people would agree, and I think most of you fans would agree, and it's not unreasonable for him to say, it'd be cool if my brother could go to Alabama. Do you know, every single player that Nick Saban has recruited since I think 2004, 2006 maybe, has won a national championship. Every single one of them has a ring.
That went to Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, that's insane. I mean, I get the arguments about playing time and environment and all that stuff. And I love the University of Utah. And I could be a heck of a recruiter for the university. And I think there's kids that don't go there that should. But man, it would be cool to go to Alabama. And if you're 17, it's even cooler because you don't care about things like, well, gosh, you know, what's the tax rate? And I got to think about my future networking opportunities for that accounting job. You're 17. You want to be the tide. I mean, that's cool. And it's okay to say that's cool.
I think where people got upset is you don't have to say it publicly.
Yeah.
Because as much as you like to say the internet feed or the Twitter feed, it's well past it. I'm sure there are people that have saved that tweet and it comes up to a bigger program than Utah and someone reminds them of, hey, this was a Utah player that said, hey, you should go to a bigger program.
But if that's what sways a recruit? If a recruit likes, I think I'm going to go play for Kyle Whittingham. And then the coach, Chip Kelly, pulls out his phone and says, look at this tweet And he goes, oh, you know, you're right. I'll sign with you. Like, what are we even talking about? No, but the reason the kid signs with UCLA
is because... I was looking forward to getting you fired up.
UCLA is a bigger brand. And kids who care about brand are going to go to bigger brand schools. That's just how it works. That's how the system works. And it sucks. But that's how it is. And the fact that Nakua said that there are bigger brands than Utah isn't the issue. The issue is there are bigger brands than Utah. And that's just something we're going to have to deal with until Kyle Whittingham wins a Pac-12 championship, which would happen in, checking my watch, 340 days.
Wow, 340 days.
I don't know when then a Pac-12 championship was played, but I'm like, oh, no. It's this one.
Next year for you, I'm worried. I'm going to have to – next year, I'm afraid. I'm going to have to start bringing
all this stuff.
Tissues for if anything goes wrong next year, because we have it on audio of a national title next year for Mr. Silver Swig.
1280. Post mode about the U's. I've got the Heisman. I've got the championship. Playoffs are in reach. I'm pumped.
All right.
Basketball.
Well, hold on.
Uh-oh.
Let me just say this, though. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most impact, 1 being the least, does that tweet matter?
One.
Negative one. I'm on the record. I've already said it multiple times. I try to not follow recruiting because in the end there's just too many players on a football team. It's not – this one player is just not going to change it, even Mr. Tuttle. So basketball kind of started the roller coaster of the season with a two-game losing streak.
That one was hard.
It was hard, especially watching that Bibbins shot. And out. And then
you can't fault him at all for taking it. It's exactly what you wanted. He had the shot he wanted.
No, it practically would end.
Man. Somebody was under there a little invisible.
Yeah.
Right out.
No, terrible. So Arizona. Ultimately what it comes down to is Aiken is just, he shouldn't be in college.
He's incredible.
The one and done rule is ridiculous. Incredible. He should be in the NBA.
DeAndre Ayton is a marvel. I mean, I was lucky enough to be in the press box for that game, and he was just amazing to watch. He was liquid the way that he moves, and he's bigger and longer and stronger than everybody on the court, and will be everybody he plays, but I mean, he made Colette look small.
Oh,
and
so small
and weak. Yeah. And Colette isn't any of those.
Colette had a good game, too.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I mean, that's one of my notes, right? Bearfield and Colette decided to show up for conference play, which is awesome.
Bearfield hitting shots is exciting. Yeah. And if Bearfield keeps hitting shots at this rate, Utah's going to win a lot of games. Utah's going to beat teams like Arizona State and Colorado now. One thing I was really excited, kind of silver lining on the weekend is, even though Utah lost Arizona State, which aren't great matchups for the Utes, Colorado beat them, which means Colorado is now a quality win, is opportunity to get a proxy win kind of over those teams. And that adds to the number of chances Utah has to kind of put feathers in their cap. And right now they don't have any and need some. So that was good. I agree. Colette played well. I thought he played really well against Arizona State. Bearfield's hitting shots. Bibbins has emerged. I mean, he's been great, and I wish we had him for more years. That's a
shame. Yeah, one-year loaner, unfortunately. But, yeah, he's been great. It feels like everything's starting to click for Bibbins. He's clearly leading this team, and I love his mentality. I'll say it again. Continues to remind me of Brandon Taylor. And the leadership role, it's great. Bibbins awesome. Love seeing Bearfield and Colette. Couple notes for you. First, rebounding. Rebounding continues to be something that's talked about.
And against Arizona,
I discount it. They were going against the NBA center.
Coach K wasn't trying to get boards.
Well, offensive boards specifically.
Yeah, he just had guys running back to defense.
Transition defense.
You know, that's just how it is. And then against DeAndre Ayton, I mean, I tell you, it's a privilege to watch this guy. I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah, I discount that game for rebounding, yeah, but I will say this, based on Chris Kubiak's comments, it does sound like they're reverting to that game plan that offensive rebounds are not high value because you lose on the transition defense with so many teams trying to push the ball. And so that you're going to see that. You're going to see the Utes lose on the offensive. They're not going to go offensive boards. In other words, you can see it now if you go to, you know, Basketball Reference or whatever, that the Utes are almost, I think it was doubled up on offensive rebounds. And it's because the Utes aren't going for offensive rebounds. They're getting back in transition defense.
And it plays to their strengths too, right? I mean, the Utes aren't great with the bigs. That's the beat. I mean, right now the guards are playing really well and, you know, outside shooting is working pretty well. And Collette's just overmatched against most of these guys. And that's okay. I mean, he plays pretty well for being overmatched. And I think Coach K is doing a good job of really playing to the strengths, saying, well, look, if we're not going to win those battles, let's fight a different battle. And that battle's back on the other end and making sure that you play defense the right way.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing of note, and, you know, the other side, so asterisk to all this, small sample size, right? I'm looking at conference games. We've only played four of them. But the Utes have been giving their opponents 20 more shots over the four games. Not each team, but over the four games, 20 more shots. So and it's leading to five more points per game. And when you get into the close games like the Arizona State, and even Arizona got it close a bunch of times, like those 5 points matter. And I think you're right. The Utes are a pretty good team. They're going to be that 4-6 spot in the Pac-12, is my opinion. I think they can get there. Maybe I'm overhyping it. I don't know. But I think that's where they're going to lie. And based on that, there's going to be some close games. And we can't keep – I always rattle on their turnovers. I think they're averaging 12 during the Pac-12 play. They had their Phantom 3 turnover game, but otherwise it's been 12, 11, and 12 the other three games. So I'm not expecting the turnover numbers to change, but I would like for them to not be giving up an additional 5 points that – you know, it's just possessions. They're giving the other team possessions.
There's a cool stat that I really like called effective possession ratio. I don't hear about it a lot. It's kind of archaic, and I found it, but I find it a really effective way of measuring teams. Essentially, how many of your possessions end in a good shot? And Utah's effective possession ratio is 238th in the country. And it kind of marries offensive rebounds, turnovers, assists, those kinds of things in terms of how it's calculated. And their opponent effective possession ratio is 194th. So they're both not ending possessions at shots a lot, and they're letting their opponents end their possessions at good shots a little bit.
Is that over the season?
This is season. So it'll be interesting to see how that changes. I don't think I'm can do splits for conference.
It'd be interesting. Because I think they've played a lot better in conference play.
I agree.
And ultimately that gives hope for all the Utah basketball enthusiasts. Now the one thing, so two things I want to say in addition on Utah basketball. One, I think people who are still stuck in the glory days of Utah basketball need to leave those memories where they are. Remember how fond they were, how much they enjoyed them, and get used to what Utah basketball is in the Pac-12. They're a mid-tier Pac-12 team. They're going to have some really good years, but otherwise they're going to be in that 4-6 range, and then there'll be a spike year or two where they're really good. And I think that's what Utah's going to be. They're probably not going to be in another national title game against Kentucky. Like, the Sweet 16, like, maybe I'm just too much of a pessimist, but I think people need to notch down the expectations of the Utah basketball program and accept what we have and hope for better, but not expect better, if that makes sense.
And it's fun, right? I mean, I know we lost the last two games, but they were both really fun. I mean, the Hudson against Arizona was electric. It was so cool to be in that building. And Arizona State was down to the wire, rimming in and out.
Fun game.
I mean, yeah, that's the kind of game you want. And the product is really entertaining, and the players are good. And I mean, just have fun with it and try not to worry so much about, you know, if you can beat Arizona. The systematic challenges in front of Utah are so huge. You've got, first of all, you've got everybody else is buying their teams.
Yep.
Like,
you know, that scandal hasn't ended.
Yeah,
they may
that's
have arrested
a
couple assistant coaches.
And by the way, props, clap, clap, clap to the Must for getting under Miller's skin. That was great. But you got all that, and that's a real problem, and Coach K doesn't do that, which is awesome, but also means we're going to lose some games, because if he would write a check to somebody for $150,000, I don't know how much, but we'd have Eckhart on the team, and we don't, because he plays the game, you know, does it the right way, and that's just part of the deal. And then the other thing is the one-and-done system and the way the NBA and the NCAA kind of interact with each other also is a disadvantage to Utah. And if that changes, or if things get cleaned up a little bit, I think those would both play to Utah's advantage if there was less cheating and recruiting, or if one-and-done players went to a developmental league or were allowed to enter the draft again, because then Coach K's ability to develop talent over 4 years would become a more valuable commodity than just, oh, here's this guy who's 7'1" with a 7-foot wingspan. He's amazing. I'm going to, you know, write his cousin a check for $100,000 and he's going to come to my school and it's going to be amazing. Yeah. And Coach K can't compete with that unless he wants to break the law or break the rules, and he doesn't. And I love that. I love it. And it's more important than beating Arizona that we have a team that we can be proud of that's following the rules.
Yeah.
And I don't think everybody feels that way, but certainly that's how the boosters and the big wigs and everybody feels who makes decisions for the U, and that's how it's going to stay, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Excuse me. Final note on Utah basketball. If you haven't listened to Coach K's press conference this week,
it was a good one.
You need to go listen. You get a little history lesson. It is fantastic. Go look it up. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube. I know if you go to ESPN 700, they have it posted there and you can listen. It was very entertaining. If I had the audio, we'd play it for you, but I don't right now.
And if anybody knows who it was who engaged in a profanity-laced tirade in the hall during Steve Miller's press conference, let us know. We'll pay good money for that information, like $3, $4. So let us know.
All right. Well, that wraps up what we have planned. Remember, the algorithms matter. Go
rate us.
iTunes, Google Play, wherever you can do it. You should be able to find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. If you can't find it, let me know. We'll get it on there. Once again, we really appreciate any feedback. If you can't give us a 5-star review, we want to hear from you at Utalk Podcast on Twitter and utalk@gmail.com for email. And you can also reach out to me or Joseph on Twitter. My Twitter handle is GrantTBS.
And I'm at J Silverswire.
All right. Until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Utalk. Brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UtalkPodcast or email @utalk@gmail.com.